I ask you to turn in your Bible this evening to Romans chapter 8. The Apostle Paul asking some questions. And in verse 35, he writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. We'll end our Bible reading there at the end of the chapter, and let's seek the Lord in prayer and ask his help as we come to consider this evening. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for the truth of what we have just read, that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you tonight that we are more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has loved us with an everlasting love. And we pray that you would take this great but very simple truth and write it upon our hearts tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take as my text this evening verse number 37. Chapter 8. "Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Now, on the surface of this text, it would seem as if this text is dealing with the subject of the victorious Christian life. Because that's what the verse says, is it not? We are more than conquerors. And so there we have the subject of the victorious Christian life. And we could preach that sermon. But I believe more than simply pointing our attention to the victorious Christian life, I believe that this text really underlines for us and emphasizes for us the truth that we actually have a victorious Christ. We have a victorious Christ more than the focus of us having a victorious Christian life. We are already victorious Christians, according to this text, because of the fact that we have a victorious Christ. The reason we can have a victorious Christian life is because of the victory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This verse describes us as being more than conquerors through him that loved us. What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? If you are a conqueror, you have won, right? What does it mean to more than win? The Greek text there would could be translated as super conquerors. We are super conquerors through him that loved us. So what in the world does it mean to be a super conqueror? Right? What does it mean to be more than a conqueror, a super conqueror? I don't know about you, but most days I feel like a super loser more than I feel like a super conqueror. But the Bible says that I am a super conqueror. And if you're born again, you are a super conqueror, though at times, and I admit many, many times and often, I feel like a super loser. I'm not. And neither are you. You are a super conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So briefly this evening, I want to consider this subject of being more than conquerors. And I want to consider this under two, what I think to be very simple headings. We're not dealing with anything very complicated this evening, but two very simple headings. The first one is we're going to consider the contest. There's a contest. And then we're going to consider the conquest. The conquest. So the contest and the conquest. So first, the contest. Our text says that we are more than conquerors. It doesn't say that one day we will become conquerors. It doesn't say one day we will get a victory. But it says right now we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. It says we are already conquerors. Already these super conquerors. Now, if we are conquerors, then it means that we have won something. So what is it that we have won? And if we have won something, then there was a contest that we were involved in. And we won the contest. And the outcome has been made known already of this contest. The outcome of the contest is that we won. Christ won for us, but we won. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So what is this contest? What do I mean by that? Well, let's look at the contest. Look back at verse number 35. Here is the contest. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Okay, who's going to do that? Who is going to drive a wedge between you and Christ? Who's going to separate you from that love? There is the contest. The contest is a cosmic effort, if you will, to separate you from the love of Christ. If, at the end, you are separated from the love of Christ, then you are the loser. But if, at the end, you are not separated from the love of Christ, then you are the winner, therefore the conqueror, and therefore, according to our text, the super conqueror. So here's the contest, this cosmic effort to separate us from the love of Christ, and who is able to do that? That leads us to consider in this contest something further, and that is, who are we up against? Because, you see, there is someone who is trying to separate you from the love of Christ. That contest, that war, if I can use another word, that war is being waged. Whether we're conscious of it or not, whether we realize it or not, that war is going on day by day. There is a contest to separate you from the love of Christ. There is a cosmic battle behind the scenes. The text does not specifically identify our enemy by name. But as you study this passage, there is, can I put it this way, a familiar stench in the air that gives the enemy away. And we know who it is. It is that great enemy that is described in Scripture as one who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Peter clearly identifies this enemy as the devil, the one who is trying to overcome the believer. He is ultimately that one that is trying to drive the wedge in between you and Christ and separate you from that love, to make you not feel that love, to make you not enjoy that love. He's doing everything he can to discredit that love. We talked this morning something about Peter, the one who Satan asked, "Can I sift Peter as wheat?" But Christ said, I've prayed for you. We have been warned about Satan himself as one who has come with the very purpose to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So we face a great enemy. We face the great enemy of the soul, the devil. We face one stronger than we are by ourselves. He is the great foe in this contest that is seeking to separate us from the love of Christ. And how does he go about in this warfare? How does he go about in this contest? Verse number 35 outlines for us some of Satan's favorite devices that he would use to destroy the soul. We're told in Scripture we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan's little bag of tricks is the same worn-out bag of tricks that he's been using from the very beginning. But Paul enumerates some of these. He's asking the question, who is it that's going to separate us from the love of Christ? What device could the enemy use? Could he use tribulation? Well, we all face tribulation. We face tribulations all the time. And Satan would try to use that to bring us down. He would bring distress into the life. He would bring persecution. He would even bring what we would call natural calamities. He would bring a famine. Has God forsaken His people? In the Old Testament, you remember the Lord brought great famines to Israel. You remember Jacob and his sons experienced great famine. And you remember they traveled to Egypt to get corn. And Joseph had already been sent there ahead of time to provide for ultimately the Lord's people. There was a redemptive purpose in Joseph being sold into slavery, ultimately to keep the children of God alive and preserved, that the line of the Redeemer would be left. And so would famine separate us from the love of God? Well, it didn't work that time, and it's not going to work in our day. What about nakedness or peril? What about the threat of the sword? Would that separate us from the love of Christ? Would that be that final wedge that would convince us that God doesn't love us anymore? Well, you look at the great martyrs of the church who were faced with literally the sword or the stake or the guillotine or whatever the means was of execution. Did that finally convince them that Christ didn't love them anymore? No, that didn't work either. You see, they knew whom they had believed and were persuaded that He was able to keep that which they had committed unto Him against that day. And they didn't fall away. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But you see, Satan would try all of these different tools. He would try all of these different methods to try to convince us that God does not love us anymore. You might be facing that now in your own life. You might be facing some of these right now in your own situation. You know, with which family in the church is not facing some kind of tribulation? You know, Christ told us, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to face persecution. Tribulation's going to come. You know, we have tribulation with our children. How many parents have cried themselves to sleep as parents, weeping for unsaved children? Tribulation comes. Financial pressures, job situations, unsaved loved ones, health, all kinds of problems. But you see, Satan would try to use all these tools to convince you, see, if God really loved you, would He let this happen? It's just a lie. It's just a manipulation of the truth. You know, who here has not had to deal with some distressing circumstance recently? But has Satan been successful in convincing you that Christ no longer loves you? Has that been successful in separating you from the love of Christ? And the answer is no. None of these things ultimately are able to do it, because Christ is victorious, and in Him we are more than conquerors. Our enemy is working overtime to bring all these things about, but yet none of them can work, because we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul faced all these kinds of attacks in his own ministry. And we could go through the life of Paul and we could see how Paul faced tribulation and distress and persecution and nakedness and peril, the threat of the sword, all these things Paul faced. But in Paul's life and ministry, he was persuaded that none of these things were able to separate us from the love of God. He says in, was it verse number 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This was nothing new to Paul. Paul daily faced these things. But he knew that none of them were able to separate him from the love of God, which was in Christ Jesus. But here's what this contest is. To drive that wedge, and Satan's the great enemy who is at work trying to get the victory himself. But yet we're told in Scripture that he's not victorious. Christ is victorious, and in him we are victorious, and we are super conquerors through him that loved us. And so there's the contest. But let's come back to the text and let's look at the conquest. In no uncertain terms, Paul says we are, not that we might be, but we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. And he asks the question, you go back to 35, repeat myself here, but he asks the question of all these things, can any of these separate us from the love of Christ? And the answer categorically is no, none of these things can. None of these things can. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. And he underscores this confidence in verse number 38 and 39. Look what he says, I'm persuaded. Here's what he's persuaded of. Death or life, angels or principalities, powers, things present or things to come, height, depth, any other creature. And so he lists all kinds of other things. And the conclusion is none of these are able even to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, we think, what's the worst that could happen to you? Okay, you die. Okay, death. Well, does that separate you from the love of Christ? That actually seals the deal. Right? That seals the deal. You actually go to heaven if you're in Christ. So none of these things are able. Here's the conquest. But how do we win this? Right? What has caused us to have this victory and to be part of this victory? That we are more than conquerors. If anything, it's absolutely clear in Scripture that we are not able to win this victory on our own. This is not a victory gained and obtained and won by willpower. This is only through Him that loved us. It's only as we are in union with Christ that we are conquerors. I said earlier, you know, this text, the theme of this text, the victorious Christian life, but really more of an emphasis on the fact that we have a victorious Christ. You think of the contrast here. The Apostle Paul wrote this, right? Now here on this page in your Bible, Paul refers to himself as a super conqueror. Be it on another page in your Bible, Paul refers to himself as the chief of sinners. How can Paul call himself the chief of sinners and at the same time identify himself as a super conqueror, more than a conqueror? You see, Paul realizes that in himself he has no strength. In himself he has no power. Left to himself, he is but the chief of sinners. But in Christ, he's forgiven of all of his sins. And he is more than a conqueror through Christ, through him that loves us. But what is the basis of our conquest? What is the basis of this victory? How can we know for sure that we have this victory? I would argue that the basis of our victory is the blood atonement of Christ. You say, well, how do you get that from this text? Well, let's look closely again at the text. Look at verse 37 again. Through him that, look at that word, loved. Now, pay close attention here. That's past tense. The Lord loves me now. But it doesn't say we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Past tense. Why is it past tense? I believe it points our attention specifically to a particular act of love. We are more than conquerors through Christ who laid down his life for us. That act of love in laying down his life as an atonement for sin and the shedding of his blood on the cross was what earned for him and all of his people ultimately the victory. And so I would pay very close attention to that past tense verb. He loved us. He displayed a particular act of love that is the very basis of our conquest. In that regard, the basis of our conquest is established by a covenant love. A covenant love with the Father. The greatest act of love ever displayed was that Christ laid down his life for his people. And in that display, an act of love, and in that sacrifice, Christ has won the victory. And in Christ, we are made partakers of that victory. And so with Paul, we can say tonight that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. But what is the nature of this conquest? I ask this question because it gives us some focus and perspective in this matter. We look back at church history, okay? How can we look back at church history and consider men like Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley, you know, the martyrs of church history, or even closer to our day, you know, a man like Jim Elliot who would go to Ecuador and be murdered trying to give the gospel. And on and on, the persecuted church. How can we look at those situations and say those believers are more than conquerors? These men faced tribulation. They faced peril. And what was the consequence? Evil and wicked men took their life. The natural man would look at that scenario and say, how can you call that victory? How can you call death victory? How can you call what happened to those people winning, being a conqueror? No, it seems like the other guy won. The other guy's still alive, you're dead. How is that a victory? Well, let's remember the nature of this conquest, the nature of the contest. And we have to keep a right perspective here on the nature of all these things. Remember what I said earlier about the contest. What is the contest, remember? Look at verse 35. There's the contest. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, here's the thing. If, and this is the big if the contest was to keep our hearts beating, then Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley lost. But that wasn't the contest, was it? The contest was who can separate us from the love of Christ. And you see in that, the executioners did not get the victory. But they did. Christ did. You see, the contest is not to keep money in your bank account. The contest is not to have a comfortable life. The contest is not comfortable living. The contest is not the realization of the American dream. That's not the contest. If that were the contest, well, then we lost. But that's not the contest. The contest is spiritual. The contest is in our heart to separate us from the love of Christ. You see, so often in our situation, we are focused on the wrong battle because so often Satan is fighting the wrong battle. Satan is trying to destroy the body because ultimately that's all he can do. That's all he has power over. That's the limit of his realm. Satan is trying to take away from you temporal pleasures or entice you with temporal pleasures to cause you to fall into sin. Satan is trying to starve you to death. But that doesn't, none of those things separate you from the love of Christ. You see, Satan has no power over the soul. His reach is but to the body. The truth is that too often we are caught up in fighting this wrong battle as well. And our attention is so often tied into the temporal. And we get so worried and so worked up about the temporal when it is the eternal that really is significant. We get tied up in the here and now rather than the eternal. We're busy laying up for ourselves treasures upon the earth rather than treasures in heaven. You see, if you lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth, Christ has told us, the moth's going to come, it's going to eat it, it's going to rust, and it's going to burn up. It's not going to last. You know, the preacher in Ecclesiastes went through the whole thing. He tried to find everything he could to make himself happy on this side of eternity. And he was without limit as to what he had access to. And he tried everything only to at the end come to the conclusion that it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It has no lasting weight. There's no eternal value to it. There's no significance that's going to last past tomorrow. And so be done with it. And let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. You know, that really is what matters in life. The eternal. You know, this contest is to separate you from the love of Christ. And not even death can do that. Not even death can do that. Nothing is able to do that. Being poor does not make Christ stop loving you. Living in tribulation, living in persecution, does not make Christ stop loving you. When your children rebel against your authority, it doesn't mean that Christ has stopped loving you. When you get fired from your job, that doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't care about you anymore. That has not separated you from the love of Christ. Even when we're under divine chastisement, that does not mean that the Lord has stopped loving us. If you're under divine chastening, that's actually proof that you are loved. That's proof that you're in the family. That's proof that you belong to the Father if He would chasten you. So even that has not separated you from the love of Christ. If anything, it proves that He loves you. The nature of our victory is that we are super conquerors because nothing is able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. So as we come to the end of this Lord's Day, this morning I preached to you on the subject of an admonition for the righteous to rejoice. We were looking at some of the great things that we have in the gospel and what we have to rejoice over. Well, tonight we come much to the same thoughts in concluding this Lord's Day. We're victorious. We're victorious. You know, the charismatic would preach a message like this, and they would point you to, you know, the parking lot and look at the preacher's Mercedes and BMW and Jaguar and look at the preacher's big house and you see, you know, if you're victorious, you can have all these things too. You know, we're not, this isn't a name it and claim it, get wealth kind of thing. It's not this at all. Our victory is spiritual. Our victory is an eternal one that Christ has earned for us, that can never be taken away from us. Christ loves you, and He'll never stop. Him that cometh unto me, what does the Bible say? Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We use that text for evangelism, and we ought to use that text for evangelism. But that text has application to our sanctification as well. Him that, if you've come to Christ, He's not going to cast you out when you get there, and He's not ever going to cast you out down the road. You're never going to be cast away. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Let's close in prayer this evening. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank You tonight that Your Word offers to us these great truths and these great encouragements. So often we find ourselves cast down, and we come to verses in the Bible like this, and we have to confess we know these things to be true in our heart. Our theology is right in that we know that you love us. But Lord, how often our experience would get the better of us and would cast us down and bring in the despair and the depression of soul. But we pray that you would use these words tonight as a means of great encouragement to us. We thank you that you have loved us with an everlasting love, and nothing can separate us from that love. So, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us the rest of this evening. We pray for grace and mercy to meet all the demands of the week that's before us, with all the various responsibilities that we have in the workplace and in the home and with family and with children. We pray for grace to help us in our time of need. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.